This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rockets beat the Jazz last night. Mike D'Antoni, after the game, met with the media and talked about his best player, James Harden. And the Jazz have done some different things to Harden in this series. Haven't really worked. But Mike D'Antoni reinforced the point that he made after game one, which is you can pretty much throw anything at James Harden, and offensively, he's going to adapt.
He just reads what they give him, and just sometimes an individual, not that it's a scheme, it's just how they're guarding him or who's guarding him, and he gets a step back or he goes. And I mean, he was shooting the ball so well at first that I think he went to a step back a couple more times just because he's shooting it so well. He just kind of feels what he's got and what he's got for that night, and if it's going in, he'll do that more often. If not, he'll drive. He just figures out the, you know, whatever way. He's a machine. He just scores.
How do we feel? I'm probably maybe getting ahead of myself. I think the Rockets are going to win this series at most in five. Five was my prediction before the series. It might even be four now. They're just clearly in a different class than this team. If that's the case, and Rich, I think you've tried to make a case for this, them playing Golden State in the next round being a good thing anyways. But if we feel like that the rest of this series is going to look a lot like the first two games, does it feel a little bit better that now they get Golden State? They've got a little momentum. You don't wait another series. You got to go through them eventually anyways.
They're playing their best basketball of the entire season right now. Yeah. And it starts at the defensive end, which ironically has never been the end of the floor where Harden has received the most praise for the work he does. But the truth is he's much, much improved over what he was earlier in his Rockets career at that end of the floor. So, yeah, they are locked down defense from Eric Gordon to P.J. Tucker to Clint Capella to Austin Rivers to Chris Paul to Kenneth Faried to James Harden. These guys are all impact defensive players. And I think all the three-point shooting, all the iso ball, all the Harden artistry with the ball in his hands or creating opportunities for his teammates gets most of the attention. But at the other end of the floor, they are locking down.
If they had been,
like they've never done before this season.
If they'd been the two or the three seed, which were both in play going into that OKC game, and then both firmly in play again the following night, when Denver and Portland were both losing to sad sack teams, they both went on to win and take the two and three seeds. But if they were the two and the three, two or the three seed, the Rockets, they would be sitting on a possible series with Denver if they were the three, or San Antonio, or Portland, or OKC. Like any of those four teams, are all the Rockets are better than all four of those teams. They're more annoyances than they are teams that I feel like could beat the Rockets in a seven game series. I don't know. Like, you start to think about it, and the way that they're playing right now, Clint, the momentum that they have right now, and if they're able to finish off the Jazz looking similar to how they've looked in these two games, I almost feel like I'd rather not play a seven-game series. I'd rather not have to go through six games, let's say, against Portland, or six games against Popovich and the Spurs, just to beat them and get to Golden State. Man, we're hot. Let's play now. Let's play now.
Yeah, I've always been a believer of that, Sean. I want to see him as early as I possibly can. I don't want to see him after they've ran through two or three opponents and I've got to face them to get to the big dance. You know, I want to see him early when I'm fresh. I want to see him early when I'm hot. So I love the fact that now I hate the way that they got to the four seed, but I love the seat that they're in now where they can run through Utah in four. And then rest if need be, or if they're blessed with the ability to rest for a couple of days, they can. And then just pour it all into Golden State, knowing if you get by them, you got a real chance to win this thing. I love it coming on the backside. We talked about it earlier. The OKC loss to end the season was disappointing in so many facets that I think it was a plus for the Rockets. And so. They're refreshed. They're rejuvenated. There's a different level of a sense of urgency, I think, because of that loss. Let's build on that and get get on with Golden State immediately. I love – you got to go through them anyway. Right. Let's go through them early.
It's looking like you said, Sean, that the Jazz are not going to put up a lot of resistance in this first round. I can't wait to see tonight if Game 2 was a complete outlier or if the Clippers are up to the task. And I don't think the Clippers are going to beat the Warriors, but I mean pushing the Warriors, extending the Warriors, maybe softening up the Warriors a little bit for their second round matchup with the Rockets. And look, I agreed when he went down for the season or for the postseason that the loss of DeMarcus Cousins doesn't derail the Warriors' championship hopes, but it's a blow to their overall quality depth and specifically to the matchup with the Rockets. It's a really nice thing for the Rockets to not have to deal with that guy in that series.
I guess similar to – here's how I feel about the Boogie Cousins thing, Rich, because I still feel like you've still got your four best players out there on the floor. So they're still the favorites to win the championship, and I don't think you're disputing that. I guess where I feel like the Boogie Cousins thing could really hurt the Warriors, you brought up depth. Similar to the advantage that the Rockets have when Chris Paul is healthy. To me, the advantage of having Chris Paul on your team isn't necessarily having Chris Paul out there with James Harden. Now, that's an advantage. Don't get me wrong. You love having Chris Paul on the floor whenever you can because he's a Hall of Famer and a really good player. But it's the 10 or 12 minutes where Harden's off the floor. That's where Chris Paul's value really kicks in, because this is where most teams have a rookie out there or some veteran who's hanging on as, you know, sort of being the floor general for the second unit. You've got Chris freaking Paul out there for those 10 or 12 minutes. So I guess maybe where the Boogie Cousins thing, where I can look at it and go, okay, this is where it really hurts, particularly against the Rockets, two things. One, clearly Capella has a harder time defending that type of center.
He's overwhelmed by Cousins.
Than other types of centers. But in the 10 or 12 minutes where if Steve Kerr wanted the luxury of being able to take multiple of those All-Stars off the floor, like, hey, I would love to get KD and Steph Curry some rest here at the same time and feel like I don't have to have one of them on the floor, that Cousins is a guy where if you have a second unit in there, you can feel like we've got a guy we can lob the ball down into now, and we're going to run differently offensively, but we're still going to be able to go get buckets when we need to.
You hit the nail on the head right there. You can run. I think it gives them options relative to the Rockets, right? I mean, you go into the Rockets game, and I think as an opponent against the Rockets, I've got to outscore them, obviously, right? With Golden State, they go in and they feel like they can outscore them by outshooting them. Well, if that's not the case, if that's not the case on that given night, then you can throw a punch that the Rockets don't necessarily have a defense for. You could bring in Cousins and slow the game down if you needed to.
That's what they did the last time they played.
Right, you slow it down. You can overcome tough times with your team when they're not shooting it well. You've got an answer that the Rockets don't have an answer for. So I agree with Locker. I agree with you, Rich, on the Boogie Cousins going down is absolutely huge for the Golden State Warriors relative to playing the Rockets.
Yeah, no question about it.
I think it's absolutely, because we said it the other night. The game's late in the season, and I knew the Rockets could score. I knew they could shoot. I knew that they had a lot of answers relative to guys that could put the ball on the floor and get to the hole and ultimately score. But late in the season, they were four deep shooting it as well as Golden State shoots it. Then they have a 7-footer like Kevin Durant that's doing it? No, but the four shooters, the four that were shooting the best at that time, Green, Gordon, Harden, and Paul, there was a 3 or 4 game stretch there when they'd won. I don't know how many they won straight, but there was a 3 or 4 game stretch there where I would have put their shooting up against Curry and all those guys in Golden State. So it's one of the things for me now all of a sudden –
yeah,
the Rockets have a leg up on these
guys. Oh, and everything we're talking about here is made all the more remarkable when you think about how good last year's team was defensively, and they lose two of their best defenders in Bamute and Ariza, and you're thinking how they're going to replace that, and they bring in guys like Gary Clark and James Ennis and Michael Carter-Williams and Carmelo Anthony, and they're terrible, and they have to pretty much tear the whole thing up and start all over again in season, fast forward to now. And it's not going to shock me if they win a championship.
No. Well, you replace them with Fareed and Austin Rivers.
Daniel House.
And Daniel House. Yeah, absolutely. No coincidence either that they blow out Utah twice, and Eric Gordon is a cumulative 6-for-11 from three-point range. I've said that since the midway point of the season, and I felt this way about Gordon for a long, long time. But when he's shooting threes at that level, when he's shooting threes at like 45% or higher, I would be willing to bet that the Rockets are either blowing out bad teams or they are hanging right in there against the best teams in the league. To me, Gordon is the guy who's the barometer for how well the Rockets are. He's at best their fourth best player, but when he's shooting the ball real well, that probably means that other guys are, you know, Paul and Harden are going to find ways to impact the game. Capella is a different type of guy. The guy who's got the worst job in the NBA right now is Donovan Mitchell. And it's showing.
No kidding.
7 of 18 in the first game.
It's not too good for Ricky Rubio these days either.
No, but Donovan,
he's guarding Harden.
He is, but Donovan Mitchell is the guy who's tasked with having to bring the offense for a team that's challenged offensively. And you can just look at the look on his face. I mean, at least Rubio last night looked confident on the offensive end. Donovan Mitchell looks like he wants to be anywhere other than a basketball court.
You see when they brought him back for the last possession of the first quarter and he threw the pass out into the corner and it bounced on the out-of-bounds line? I mean, he was like looking to kick something when he went out of the game after that.
He's got the weight of the world on his shoulders trying to match buckets with Harden right now, and they've got nobody that can help him. That's why he's 5 of 19 and 7 of 18 in the first two games.
Being asked to carry that kind of load and play that kind of defense against one of the most high-powered offenses in the league.
Yeah,
the helpless feeling, the helpless aspect of that is so it's so hard to handle, man. And you can see it in his face.
High-powered offense for sure, but also, as I mentioned, the defense, because Jay Crowder's done nothing. Joe Ingles has done nothing. Derek Favors has done nothing. I mean, the Rock and Donovan Mitchell's been held in check.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.